Is, the videos are just so awesome, and maybe one of these years we'll have a team to go overseas. They have volunteers, you know, they go overseas to distribute and support the local pastors, and I think that would be an amazing adventure. I don't think we're in time to do it this year, but we'll see what happens next year. I think it'd be great to do that. Well, my brother in Christ, we're not related by blood, but we are related in our Savior. Jake is going to share from his heart this morning, and I'm so glad he's able to do that. What God has done, a work of grace in his life and in his family's life, is just to me so beautiful to see. So, Jake, I know God's got things on your heart, and come up and share with us.
Good morning. So first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to have all the veterans in the room stand up, please. I'm putting you on the spot today. Okay. Please stay standing, guys. The kids the last couple days have been working on thank you cards. Isaac will help you. So I'm one person speaking today, but just these words aren't just coming from me, but the respect and gratitude we have for each one of you that has served our country and has helped to make it what it is today. The words can't express that anywhere near enough, so. So today's gonna be some ups and downs, some serious, some funny, with the hope that in the end it all ties in and gives the picture that I'm hoping to create today. So, who here looks forward to Thanksgiving? Well, I sure do. In college, I had a roommate, and when I met him, I was terrified. Huge guy. And his name was Tony, and Tony liked to work out about 3 hours every single night. Now, this was college, so it wasn't just working out. I mean, there were girls there, too. So out of that time, probably half of that he was actually working out, but his arms were bigger than my thighs were, and he was at least 6 feet tall, so pretty intimidating. But every single night, he tried to get me to go with him to the gym, and I always had excuses. So I got him pretty excited. Around the beginning of November, I told him I was starting preseason. And he said, "Great, now you can come to the gym with me." I said, "No, you don't understand. I'm going to the cafeteria. I need to get my stomach ready for Thanksgiving." Luckily, even though he was big, I was faster than him because I got away pretty quickly. But honestly, you know, the food is a minor part of what Thanksgiving is. And so hopefully today I can paint a picture of Thanksgiving memories I've had through stories. My students at school are all special needs, moderate to severe, and I have found they've learned so much through stories. So hopefully I can take some of that and paint a picture today, stories, and then in the end share a few other thoughts. So when I think of Thanksgiving, I think of my grandparents' house in Vermont. Now I call it a hill, because in Vermont, it's not a mountain. Their house sits higher than where we're sitting right now, on top of a hill. And from their house, all you can see across the valley on top of a mountain is one other house. It was really cool. This past June, when we went out for my grandmother's burial, we got to finally go in that house that we've only ever seen miles and miles away. And it was very cool. The view up there was absolutely amazing. But this house is, I guess you'd say it's my happy place. For the whole family, but in particular my generation, my sister, my cousins, It was a place that for 1 week every summer we could go and escape from our parents. It wasn't as big for me as far as the escape. Some of my family lives in South Carolina, and I remember one of those cousins flying up by himself and at the end of the week sending him back home on a plane and thinking, I couldn't do that. We were close enough. My parents could drive me there, drop me off, and come back at the end of the week. But every single summer, we got all the cousins together. As each cousin got older, they would join the group. We'd spend the summer doing all sorts of things. We'd swim. We played. We created some pretty amazing skits that we would share on the weekend when parents would arrive. Just those memories alone are pretty special to have. There's a loft at my grandparents above the garage, and that's where the kids would get to hang out during the summer. It would have beds set up and started off with no bathroom, but we would have a little bucket. And then finally they realized that we needed a bathroom if we were going to be up there for a week. But it was our own place. My grandparents had so many experiences. My grandfather was born and raised in China, lived there till he was 14. His parents were, I know this sounds interesting, and I've been told, is that really true? They were Universalist missionaries. So I've been told, do Universalists have missionaries? But they were. So he was born and raised there, and that stuck with him his whole life. My grandmother's relatives went out and were pioneers and went out settling the West. So during this week, in addition to playing and having fun, we would, at least one night a week, we would have movie and popcorn. Now, grandmothers don't just make popcorn. They make as much butter as they do popcorn. So that was the best part. Heat up the butter, pour it over. All they had was that one TV with a VCR. And I'll talk more about that in a little bit. At this house, we would usually be there in the summer and Thanksgiving, and then sometimes family could also come up and get together in the winter. For the South Carolina family, it was a huge deal. One winter we were there, and there was so much snow that when the plow came up, and it's a winding driveway, it made like a loose track. And I think the adults had as much fun as the kids did flying down this track. That was until one cousin fell off the sled and ended up under the toboggan. That put a damper on things for a little bit. But anyway, I'm going to try to stay on topic here. So when I think of Thanksgiving, that's what I think of. I remember waking up to the smells of turkey already in the oven. Nana would have been up since at least 4, starting to get everything ready. The smell of coffee, which at that time didn't mean anything to me. Now it does. But she would be down there, just getting everything ready, happy to have usually all her children back in the house. And each year it seemed to be another grandchild at least. So when we'd start waking up for breakfast, we'd usually have either homemade sourdough or oatmeal bread sprinkled with cinnamon and sugar. Usually pretty fresh baked. If we ate too much the first day, we'd have to go, I think they had 3 chest freezers full of food. Nobody makes bread quite like her. I mean, Katie's close. Cool. But I will say Katie has used Nana's recipes. So, as more and more people would wake up and the house would get crowded, the kids would kind of not get kicked out. We would be ready to go. And it might be we'd go play outside depending on the weather. If we did, we'd always suit up in orange. Even as a kid, I was a little anxious. And when somebody first explained hunting season to me, I freaked out because no way I was going to go play out in the yard if there were people with guns. So Nana sewed up a orange vest for me on the spot 1 year. So we'd bundle up, we'd go outside. We might shoot my grandfather's old .22 rifle. And if the weather wasn't good for doing any things outside, oh, one of the best things to do, the vent that went from the kitchen at one end of the house, from the stove, piped down through the basement and out the other side, was a great place to spy on the adults. We could go out there under the deck and just listen. You could hear all the conversations in the house. Luckily, they didn't know that for a few years. So if the weather wasn't good, we might escape up to the loft that I mentioned, which later on became my grandmother's art studio. She was quite an artist, and in her older years, she got back into that. Other things we could do, we could go down to my grandfather's basement and visit his model railroad set. It was probably about as wide as this room is. Would come out about 4 feet, double-decker, had a haunted house, had a family reunion. It had a replica of one of the bridges from Brunswick that he loved when he'd come up here. Had the wooden horn so he could blow that. He'd flick the switch and the trains would start going. If none of those things did it for us, we would go pick through the old movies. My grandmother loved old movies. Like, many times we watched Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, Thoroughly Modern Millie, Singing in the Rain, those sorts of movies. And probably the only place I'd ever heard of half the movies that we saw. But one thing I don't ever remember out of all the times there, ever being bored. The kids, they're always bored now, even though they have everything at their fingertips. We were never bored. There was no internet yet, and there was no satellite, there was no cable. It was that one TV. You couldn't even watch a football game on Thanksgiving. I remember some years when certain family members were there, they'd be playing with the rabbit ears, trying to get a signal, but usually didn't work well. If none of those things caught our attention, you could always count on picking up a photo album and spending hours and hours. Or probably one of my favorite, it's where I was introduced to Calvin and Hobbes and The Far Side. They loved those books. And some of those that were given to me as a child now, my kids found in a box from my mom and they've been looking at them lately. So as dinner time was getting closer, we'd put all the leaves in the dining table. And if you can picture, the kitchen and dining room were attached with a nice wraparound island. So that acted as a serving area. The dining room table, all the leaves added in. And then a couple card tables off to the side. And at the kids' table, you always wanted to be able to sit on the love seat, not the folding chairs. Only room for three when we were small, and as we got bigger, less and less. I was the fifth out of eight cousins. And so there were some years where there's some jealousy as the older cousins got to be at the adult table. Right around 13, we lost my grandfather. And that was the first time that I realized that those extra seats at the adult table aren't always a good thing. My grandmother continued to have most of us over for Thanksgiving most years. More recently, we started being able to make memories there with my children. About 4 years ago, the longest drive to Vermont ever. It was the Thanksgiving that a blizzard decided to come the day before. And that 3.5-hour drive took us 7. We had our old Suburban then. May not have been the prettiest thing, but you put that in four-wheel drive and went slow, and we had no issues at all. We were pretty lucky. If the snow had started, we probably wouldn't have gone, but we had just hit the New Hampshire border, and there was no turning back then. And the other good thing is, through the mountains, they always have the truck ramps, So if you get going too fast, you know you have somewhere to go to stop. But we made it. Here, I think we were not supposed to get the snow, and I didn't even pay attention, so the kids didn't have any snow gear with them that year. I don't even think they had boots with them. But we managed because there was some other of my cousin's children there that year. As everybody got older, less and less people came, but some other cousins in Vermont were there, and they were prepared with snow gear. So the kids would just bundle up, put a few layers on, go outside till they were too wet and cold, come in, strip down, put pajamas on, throw everything in the dryer, and half hour, they were back out there. Now, they haven't had time to make anywhere near the same memories I did, but they've been able to start. Three years ago was the last time I had Thanksgiving with my grandmother. And at that time, no idea. She would have been 91 then. She was still hopping in her car, driving to Maine for Christmas. She was known by everybody in the Newfane area as Speedy Baloo. How she stayed on the road. Katie rode in the front seat of her car once and said, "I'm never doing that again." I don't believe she ever had an accident, though. So that was 3 years ago. Last year, about this time, I lost my Nana Baloo and my Nana Seed House about a month apart from each other. Family decided to still have Thanksgiving at our house, and it was too soon. I couldn't do it. At that point, I didn't know what was going to happen with the house. My hope had always been that it would stay in the family. In sixth grade, my sixth grade graduation, where are you going to be in 15 years? It was living off inheritance from somebody. I have no idea who, because nobody in my family has that kind of money. At my Nana's house in Vermont, watching birds. It's not a normal sixth grade vision, is it? But that's, so when she passed away, it was not just losing her, but I know it's a building, but it's always been that special place. Well, this year we get to go there for Thanksgiving. My uncle from South Carolina bought the house, is keeping it in the family. His middle son is currently living there for a year. He works in Massachusetts and is going to live there and telecommute. They've now had to put in internet and better cable services. So it's going to be different, but we get to carry on some of those memories this year. We're going to go there for a couple days, and I believe everybody in the family is going to be there this year. So, this was not where I was intending to go when I sat down to start thinking about today, but I really haven't grieved the loss of my grandmother, either one of them, and I sat down, opened up the computer not knowing, and I really felt that I needed to put these thoughts down. What does this have to do with what I'm going to talk about? Well, I am so thankful that I've been able to make these memories. I'm thankful that even though Katie and I are the self-proclaimed black sheep in my family, politically, spiritually, every way possible, we can still get together as a family and love each other despite how completely opposite our views are on almost everything. I think the only thing that is the same is the love that we have for each other. I'm thankful that God's given me 5 kids that are healthy. Even though they drive me crazy sometimes when I look at how most kids that are 12 behave, I've got it easy. And I try to remind myself that, but some days it's hard. I'm sure there are days that Pastor Ron and Lois can hear some words down there louder than we should be. But overall, God's blessed us with good kids. Depends on how many people are in your driveway at the time. So, keeping my eye on the clock. Now, it's so easy. I'm sure everybody here can think of great things that they're thankful for without even thinking about it. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But it is 11 o'clock, 11th hour of the 11th month. So let's take a brief moment of silence. Lord, we thank you for giving us this country. We thank you for all those that are in this room and those that we have lost. We thank you for the service that these veterans have given our great country. Thank you for blessing our lives knowing them. Lord, we are constantly, it seems, in a difficult time in our history. And Lord, we just ask you to keep our nation close by. Help us know that you are guiding things. I ask you to just let these veterans feel in their hearts the gratitude that we all have for them, because our words cannot express it. And let the rest of us remember day to day what these people have laid down for us. I'm sure everybody in this room has somebody that has served that they have lost. And Lord, just keep us all safe. Keep our country safe. Heal the division in our country, Lord. And we thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good segue into giving thanks. So the Bible doesn't tell us to be thankful when things are going well. It doesn't tell us to be thankful when everything is just right. It tells us to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's not easy to be thankful when things are bad. From our experiences, though, it's not easy raising five kids, being the sole provider for the family, and many times knowing you can't. But through all the struggles that we've had, wondering, you know, how we're going to make it to the next paycheck, we have seen God's love through many of you in this room, through friends and family, over and over. We are so thankful for that. Those are things that wouldn't have happened if we weren't in this position. I've shared before that my parents got divorced when I was 14. Never thought life would be the same after that. Or even be good. I remember having friends who had divorced parents trying to cheer me up. That means you get two Christmases, two birthday parties, you get double everything. That didn't help. It was such a hard time for my sister and I. She was only 10. She definitely, it hit her right away. And I think I held it in more. But I'm thankful for that. My family's grown. Both my parents were remarried and brought their families in. And we were never treated like the outsiders in the family. I remember at funerals saying that, you know, we weren't their step-grandchildren. We were their grandchildren. 13 years ago, I watched as my stepfather's cancer came back. Right around Thanksgiving, the doctor told him it's back, and at that time, he looked at my mom and said, "I'm gone." We didn't know it was that serious. The day after Christmas, he was pulling into the driveway, and all they can think is he had a seizure. And he put his truck in reverse, and an EMT happened to drive by and saw him just repeatedly backing into a tree across the street. So the EMT broke the window to get him out. That time, we had no idea he would never be returning home. And I say home, to the house. He was transported down to Boston, where they did all sorts of tests. They looked at rabies, mad cow disease, chronic wasting disease. They had no idea what was going on with him. They sent him back to Brunswick, knowing that it was near the end. Now, on February 3rd, 2006, my stepfather, Mike, went home to be with the Lord and his son that he lost at 2 years old. Isaac was born 2 weeks later. I would have loved for Mike to be able to meet all my kids, but I'm so thankful that for the years that I had with him, the love that he shared with us. He didn't know how to fit into my life because I was 16 when they got remarried, and I just don't think he ever really knew. He supported me in anything I did, but he knew I had a dad that loved me, and he was going to love me however that worked out for us. Another struggle that only a few in this room know about. In my adult life, I have suffered with depression, sometimes pretty severe. I've always done really well hiding it in public. People at school don't know. I'm sure many of you here don't know. Katie's seen me at my worst, and she's been right there for me. To this day, there's still healing going on all the time. Anytime I start to get angry, and my depression isn't just curl up and go hide, it comes out in pretty severe anger. And still to this day, there are times when she sees that anger coming back that, you know, for lack of better terms, it's like post-traumatic stress. She starts to shut down. But in the last year, I owe a lot of it to the fellowship I had during Paraclete, how much closer that brought me to God and to know I had other people to talk to. That now, when Katie sees this happening, she knows she can talk to me, and I'm not going to lash out. I'm not going to make excuses, because I have plenty of excuses for why I'm stressed or angry. But she's also helped me to be able to see, okay, how you're feeling now is, this is okay. This is a good level, but this is too much. Just this week, we've had that happen. I'd come home from work, excited all day to see my family, get home, and couldn't do anything. Couldn't enjoy things I wanted to enjoy. And she was able to say, "Are you okay?" And I was able to say no. If depression had never been in my life, we wouldn't have that bond right now. I honestly feel God has used that to help our relationship grow. He's taught us how to rely on each other and rely on Him. All these things that I've talked about, as far as difficult things, we've realized that when you can be thankful for the difficult things, and don't get me wrong, many times I'm not thankful for them. It might be days, weeks, months, years later that you can finally realize that you can be thankful. It is so humbling to say, "God, we're not in control, but we know you've got this, and we're thankful for it." So, before I finish, I would like to share a video. Yesterday I had Katie read through this, and since she read it, I've added a few things. But she sent me a message as I'm sitting out in the woods, not seeing anything at all, by the way, and said, "This song, you need to share this song." And I've heard it many times, but this video includes an introduction by the artist that makes you hear it in a whole nother perspective. So, hopefully. So, for the sake of time, as we leave here after communion and potluck and business meeting today, I ask that we all try to be different in the upcoming weeks. This Thanksgiving, I'd urge you to write a list of the things you're thankful for. Those things that are easy and come to mind right away, but the things that are difficult too, whether they've happened now or years and years ago. I know for me, doing this today has, I think, helped heal me some, but it's also shown me that some of the losses are still fresh, but I'm thankful for the role they've all played in my life. So, don't want it to be too much of a downer, but just really be thankful. It's not always easy.
Thank you, Jake, for sharing your heart and who you are. To be thankful, give thanks in all things, knowing that God wants to make us stronger. That's part of what he's doing. And not knowing what Jake was going to focus on, you know, I think our closing song is quite appropriate for the day. God is sovereign in our lives, and he watches over us, doesn't he? All of us, I think, could share stories of how God does watch over us. And even if you're in a storm right now, know he is with you in that storm. He is faithful. Amen? 1, 2, 3. Stand with us. Lord, we do trust you. We trust you in the storms. We trust you in the calm because you are faithful and you've proven yourself faithful. We read your word, we see again and again, when it looked like it was the darkest, you were there, you stepped in. And on the good days, we may feel like we can bomb along and do okay, you're still there with us. You never leave us or forsake us. You are the faithful, faithful friend. So we're encouraged. We do give thanks, God. Bless us this month as we take some time and stop and focus on your goodness, both in the hard things and in the just the blessings, the things we think of quickly and easily, but also some of those other places too. You're faithful and you're good. Amen? So we're just going to take a couple minutes, not even a full 5 minutes, and get set up for communion. If you're a follower of Jesus, we just invite you to stay and participate in this. It's called a love feast. And then we'll go out and have lunch together. So don't go away.